Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Mr. Hunter's going to ask a different question, and the jury will just disregard that last question.
I want to fast forward a little bit, if we can, without a history lesson.
Okay, sure.
The CPT, well, let me back up. We've talked about that you resigned from Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital in 2002.
Right.
And have you ever worked for them or been employed by All Children since then?
No.
Have you ever been employed by Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital?
No.
Or Johns Hopkins?
No.
Okay. Without going into the historical details, let me lay the predicate this way. When you saw Maya Kowalski in 2016, were you the medical director of the Pinellas County Child Protection Team at that time?
Yes, I was.
Okay. And you had been so since 2002 in one role or another?
Correct.
And tell the jury, if you would, what a child protection team is.
Okay.
Objection again, beyond scope.
No, she can answer that question.
So in Florida, each county is covered by a child protection team. It's a multidisciplinary team that includes a medical director, usually nurse practitioners or sometimes other physicians from the county who are supervised by that medical director, and social workers who serve as what are called case coordinators. So they communicate with all the people involved in a particular investigation or case. And they also have like a team psychologist, for example, that's contracted, a team attorney, I believe. It's a multidisciplinary team with these members, and it provide, especially in Pinellas County, one of the biggest functions of the child protection team is to provide medical evaluations when there are allegations of child abuse and neglect. And there are certain criteria that are set up under statute in terms of which kinds of situations warrant a medical evaluation. And so we kind of follow that list, if you will, responding to requests for evaluations. The vast majority of the time, the request is made by the Child Protective Investigation Division under the Department of Children and Families. The child protection teams are under the Department of Health in Florida. And so they work side by side, but DCF doesn't run the child protection teams. And so they request for us to help them in investigating their case by looking at the medical information and guiding them in terms of whether there's medical evidence that would support a diagnosis of child abuse and neglect and whether a child's safety is at risk as a result of that.
Okay. So in any given situation of a child abuse investigation, what is the role of the child protection team and its medical director in pursuing that investigation or facilitating that investigation?
So primarily the role is to provide that medical evaluation, and it kind of varies exactly how much work is required to do that. But also we end up being a go-between, with the dependency attorneys, the child protective investigators, the detectives or law enforcement that may be involved in a case, again, to provide that medical expertise to assist everybody in making a good decision for the child. We present information in court on a fairly regular basis and assist the dependency judge or the juries in evaluating the cases for whatever legal action may be needed. And one of my roles, which is also in statute, is to provide education for community medical providers. So, in that role, particularly for a teaching hospital like Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, it's the residents are required to have a certain amount of training in evaluating child abuse and neglect. And so, over the years, I've been involved in that element as well to help provide education for the medical students and residents there at the hospital.
Okay. Do your statutory duties as medical director of the CPT, in your understanding, require that you consult with healthcare providers in a situation where a child has been sheltered?
There certainly are scenarios in which that's an important component of what were my responsibilities. Not always, but many times, especially in more complicated cases, the treating physicians at the hospital may need an ability to consult someone who is more expert in a child abuse or neglect case for a variety of reasons.
Now, in the fall of 2016, and particularly in September and October of 2016, you told us that you were the medical director of the Pinellas County Child Protection Team at that time.
Correct.
What other hats did you wear as a pediatrician in the community at that time?
So I had my private practice. At that time, I was working half-time there. Now I'm full-time. And I also, ever since I moved to Pinellas County in 1990, I had active medical staff privileges at All Children's Hospital. I do to this day. And that doesn't mean anything about being employed by the hospital or being somehow under the hospital, but the medical providers that go in the door there have to have credentialing in order to go in and see patients, communicate with the other physicians, review the medical records and the radiology studies and lab work and all those kinds of things. And so that was essentially another hat where I was active medical staff with the hospital. And then as a community pediatrician, and obviously I'd been there for 12 years, so I was well known to the medical staff members, and they asked me to be a representative on a number of hospital committees over the years as a representative of the community to sort of bring that to the table. So I think at the time in 2016, those were the main additional roles that I had besides being the medical director of the child protection team with regards to All Children's.
Okay. At that time, in the fall of 2016, did you have what we refer to as staff privileges, medical staff privileges at hospitals other than Johns Hopkins All Children's?
Yes, I believe the only one as of 2016 would have been Bayfront Medical Center, which is Orlando St. Pete now or something, where I've had privileges since 2002 to see newborns in the nursery there. I mean, I have staff privileges, but that's what I actually use them for.
Okay, so you would have privileges to practice both at Bayfront Medical Center and at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital.
Yes, and in addition to being able to walk in the door and evaluate children as the medical director of the child protection team, in 2016, I still had some patients from my practice that were complicated patients that sometimes I would admit to the hospital and manage their care. That was a different hat. That's my private practice side. That's all been taken over by the hospitalists in recent years, but I used to do that multiple times a year, admit my own patients to the hospital.
Okay. Now, in this particular case, how did it come about that you became involved with Maya Kowalski?
So there were, the main way I became involved was because there was a report concerning child abuse or neglect.
Continue, Mr. Hunter.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. Let me focus this a little bit.
Okay.
In October, in early October of 2016, did you receive a call regarding Maya Kowalski from Dr. Beatrice Tepa Sanchez?
Yes, I did.
And at that time, when you received that call, did you have any knowledge of Maya Kowalski or her admission to All Children's Hospital?
No, that was the first I learned of it.
Okay. And Dr. Tepa Sanchez contacted you regarding concerns that she had?
Yes.
And what did you do to tell us very specifically and not at any length, if you would, what you did in response to that phone call?
I talked to her on the phone about, she was asking me about what to do about a possible case of, I believe her terms were Munchausen syndrome by proxy. And we talked about the kinds of things that are needed to assess that diagnosis, such as medical records.
Objection as to
what?
Oh, you can continue, Mr.
Okay. Good. Sorry.
And we also talked briefly, as I recall, about this specific case. And I tried to give general advice in terms of how pediatricians can approach concerns for Munchausen syndrome by proxy, or what I prefer to call medical child abuse.
And you were you called at that point as a member of the child protection team or as a medical staff member at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, or do you know?
My understanding was I was being called as the person they all had known for 32 years to be the hospital expert in child abuse and neglect, as an active medical staff member, and another active medical staff member was seeking my assistance, advice about what to do about a case where there was concern.
Now, with a call such as that, would that be considered a consultation?
That would be my understanding of what that's what I thought it was.
Did you access the medical records from Maya Kowalski at that time?
I believe I did briefly, yes.
And did you take any further action as far as evaluating the patient herself and her medical care at that time?
No, because to do anything as a child protection team medical director, I need to be asked by the investigators to provide a medical evaluation. And at that time, to my understanding, there was no actual investigation ongoing yet. And Dr. Tepa Sanchez wasn't the person under Florida law who can ask me to provide that medical evaluation. So it was a Saturday, as I recall, 1-ish in the afternoon, and we had a little discussion at that time. And then I honestly didn't think about it more, do anything more about it until Monday, when I got that referral where the child protection team was asked to provide a medical evaluation.
So between the time you spoke with Dr. Tepa Sanchez and looked at the chart briefly, and the time you were advised of an investigation on Monday morning,
As I recall, it was Monday morning, yes.
Did you take any action to render diagnosis, care, or treatment to Maya Kowalski?
None whatsoever.
And so you had a brief telephone conversation, and until you were told there was an investigation, you took no other action to involve yourself in this patient's care?
Correct.
Now, once you were advised of the investigation, did you undertake well, first of all, and I want you to answer this question very narrowly.
Okay.
Were you advised of an investigation and asked to conduct a medical evaluation as the medical director of the child protection team?
Yes.
And is that the point at which you began your investigation of the case?
That's the point at which I began my medical evaluation of the case. I wasn't the investigator. Those are other people. I was providing a medical evaluation for the child protection team to assist those other people.
Okay. And in conducting that investigation, were you acting as a medical staff member of All Children's Hospital, in other words, a pediatrician in consultation, or were you acting as the medical director of the child protection team?
You know, there's a slight overlap because the privileges that I have at the hospital allow me to review their records and enter the building and examine children and things like that. So there was a slight element of my active medical staff credentialing that was in play, but primarily I was acting as the medical director of the child protection team.
Who was conducting the care of Maya Kowalski at that point?
At that point, she was in the pediatric intensive care unit at All Children's, and so the ICU physicians, the pain management team, I'm not sure if there were any other consultants that were involved at that point, certainly all the nursing staff and the support staff and everything were the ones that were managing her care. In not just this case, but in child abuse cases, I don't really get involved with the management, day-to-day management of the children at all. My role is specifically to do this medical evaluation. And so I focus on that part and not really anything related to, you know, whether the child gets a regular diet or what medications they're on or how often they're getting vital signs or any of that kind of thing.
And is your involvement in the medical evaluation as the CPT medical director part of your, in your understanding, part of your statutory duties as the medical director of the child protection team?
Yes.
With respect to Maya Kowalski, did you ever write a consultation in her chart?
So the physicians that are treating the children that I see down there for a child abuse evaluation obviously are going to be helped if they know all of the medical data related to that potential diagnosis. And so recently there's a different electronic medical record system and it doesn't exist anymore, but at the time that I was involved with this case, what I would routinely do would be to provide my medical report to the treating physicians at the hospital to assist them. And that's okay when they basically ask me if they can have my report, then I can provide it to them. There was a sort of a super confidential kind of process that was set up so that not, you know, the housekeeping staff couldn't look at these medical records, but a physician who was logged in that manner could see the child protection team report and could, you know, utilize that for either that time they were in the hospital or maybe a subsequent time they were in the hospital. That doesn't really occur the last four or five years or so, but that was in place at that time.
But your report would not have been placed into this portion of the chart you're referring to until you actually rendered it, completed it, and signed it much later, correct?
Typically correct, yes.
Okay. When you are in private practice, when you're managing a patient, let me ask you this way. when you're managing a patient in a hospital, whether it's Bayfront or Johns Hopkins or wherever, and you call for a consultant, a specialty consultant.
Yes.
What typically happens? You get a consult report in the chart?
Right. I mean, I had many years of experience, like, as an actual in-hospital person, and that's what's typical. A consult order gets written. In this case, it's different because there's no consult in the All Children's medical record for our child protection team evaluation. That has to go through the child protection team and child protective investigations in the state of Florida. So there's never a consult order for a child abuse evaluation from a hospital physician. What they do is they make a report, or their typically social worker that's involved with the case makes a report to the hotline. That's how it works in Florida. That's how it works at All Children's.
Okay, so during the time that Maya Kowalski was at All Children's, did you ever write an order in her chart?
No, I did not.
Did you ever write a progress note in her chart?
No.
Did you from time to time talk with the physicians that were caring for her?
Yes.
But did you see her or round on her on a day-to-day basis?
No. I saw her one time, I believe on October 13th, 2016, and I saw her one time in early November, probably between 5 and 15 minutes each time. Those were the only times I ever saw her while she was in the hospital.
And what was the purpose of your seeing her those two times?
So part of my medical evaluation is supposed to be a physical examination. So when I saw her on October 13th, I was trying to perform a physical examination, which basically she declined. So in November, again, as part of my job as the Child Protection Team Medical Director, I'm supposed to do a physical examination, and I'm also supposed to provide photo documentation for investigators and whoever else is involved in the case. So I went that day in early November to try to take some photographs of her lower extremities in terms of trying to essentially document the absence of a problem.
And did you take any such photographs?
I did not.
Did you ever interview Mr. or Mrs. Kowalski?
I took, as part of my medical evaluation, I took a fairly extensive history from Mrs. Kowalski and a much more abbreviated history from Mr. Kowalski. The meeting with Mrs. Kowalski took place on October 11th, 2016, and the relatively brief interview or history taking with Mr. Kowalski occurred on October 13th.
Okay. Did you ever speak to the two of them together?
I did not.
When you spoke with Mrs. Kowalski, where was it?
So at that time, Maya was still in the pediatric ICU. They have a family conference room kind of thing outside of the main entrance to the pediatric ICU. And because of the investigation that was being initiated and everything, I scheduled a time where the child protective investigators and the people in law enforcement that were investigating the case could join me to while I took my medical history. So there, as I recall, there were about five of those people, two or three child protective investigators, I think two law enforcement people, and Mrs. Kowalski. They were all in that room already when I got there for the scheduled meeting, which I believe began at 5:45 in the evening on the 11th.
Okay. Did you identify yourself to Mrs. Kowalski?
Absolutely.
How did you identify yourself?
I always say, I'm Dr. Sally Smith. I'm a pediatrician with the Child Protection Team. And that's what I said to her.
And the other folks who were there were either law enforcement or child protection investigators?
Yes. It's possible that one of the nurses was in there, but otherwise those were the people that I recall being present.
Okay. Were you wearing a lab coat?
No.
Do you ever wear a lab coat at All Children's?
Well, at All Children's, no. I do in my office now since the pandemic, but for 20 years, I never wore a lab coat.
Do you wear, when you're in a hospital, do you wear a particular identification badge?
Yes, I have to wear my Johns Hopkins All Children's identification badge to come in the door and to, you know, move around. There's all these little things you put your badge up to open doors. And I have a similar one for Bayfront.
Okay. So if you're in Bayfront, for example, you wear a Bayfront badge. If you're at All Children's, you wear an All Children's badge.
Correct. And when I go in between, I switch badges.
Okay. When you spoke with Mrs. Kowalski, was there any question that you had identified yourself as a member of the Child Protection Team?
Absolutely none.
And did you conduct that investigation in any way as an employee or agent of All Children's Hospital, of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital?
No.
Did you ever hold yourself out to Mrs. Kowalski as acting on behalf of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital?
No. As I said, this was a scheduled meeting. Everybody knew exactly what was happening.
Did Mrs. Kowalski know?
Absolutely.
How do you know she knew that?
Objection. Speculation.
Sustained.
Are you aware of how Mrs. Kowalski might have known that this meeting was going to take place?
As I said, they were all in the room when I got there. So she, and I believe some of these people had already interviewed her as part of their investigation. She probably recognized some of these people. They got on their badges and their, you know, work-related clothing and things like that. So,
objection. Again, speculation.
She can say what she saw.
So, and I introduced myself. I don't quite see how it's possible that she didn't know who I was and what was happening.
How long did that meeting take place?
About an hour and a half.
And you subsequently had an opportunity to speak with Mr. Kowalski?
Yes. So
follow up on that. When did you talk with Mr. Kowalski?
So that was on October 13th, and I'm honestly not sure exactly what time.
Okay. And how long did that discussion or meeting last?
I would guess about 10, maybe 15 minutes.
And who was present for that meeting?
The bedside nurse. I'm pretty sure she was still in the ICU that day. And Mr. Kowalski and Maya.
Did you identify yourself to Mr. Kowalski?
Yes, I did.
And how did you identify yourself?
I said, I'm Dr. Sally Smith. I'm a pediatrician with the Child Protection Team.
And did you at any point advise Mr. Kowalski that you were acting on behalf of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital?
No.
Were you attired in much the same way as you were when you spoke with Mrs. Kowalski?
I was wearing professional street clothes both times.
Okay. And again, no lab coat?
No. I would have had my badge on both times because I was in the building, but otherwise, just professional street clothes.
Now, at the time that you spoke with both Mr. and Mrs. Kowalski, and I think I'm getting the dates right, around the 11th and the 13th of October, respectively, were you aware of any efforts being made to transfer Maya to another institution?
So I would say during that week, I knew that that was being investigated by, I believe, the hospital. I can't tell you exactly what day I knew that, but I definitely knew that there was an effort being made to transfer her to an inpatient intensive rehab facility.
And were you involved in that effort at all?
No.
Were you directing that effort at all?
No.
Were you directing any of the medical care of the patient at that time?
No.
And you just, how did you know that was going on?
That's why I'm not sure exactly the time frame. I know that week there was a multidisciplinary staffing that took place with people from the Sarasota County investigators and child protection team and myself. And I believe there was discussion at that meeting. I believe that meeting was on the 13th, but I'm not 100% sure. There were multiple discussions that I had with the treating physicians at All Children's that they were trying to make that kind of thing happen.
Okay. And did you have any understanding about whether there was an effort being made to wean Maya Kowalski's medication or reduce her medication as part of that effort?
I did not really, you know, have any involvement with any of that. I believe at one point later in October, maybe right around now, October of 2016, knew that that was happening.
Okay. And did you, once again, did you learn of that from the physicians directing her care, or did you attempt to direct that care yourself?
I learned that from communication with the attending physician.
Okay. And do you typically follow that as part of your statutory duties as child protection team medical director? In other words, follow the course of the patient's care?
Yes. Typically when I've seen a child, and then as I'm writing my report, I kind of go back in the chart, see what's happening, put some of the quote-unquote hospital course into my report, and then, you know, reach the conclusion. This was a much more extensive, lengthy process, so at that point at the end of October, I hadn't, you know, done any report or anything, but I was still in communication with them related to what was happening with the child abuse part of the case.
Okay. Now, let me ask that we put up Trial Exhibit 2123-723 in evidence. And let me ask you to take a look at this, Doctor. It's an email from Kathy Beatty. Do you know who Ms. Beatty is?
Yes, I do.
And did you, in fact, make a request of Ms. Beatty to get together with the treatment team to talk about Maya's upcoming needs in December?
Sorry, I got my stuff in front of the screen. Yes, so I believe at that time I was in communication with the dependency attorneys, and there was a need to... There was a need to present to the judge what options he could consider and choose from in terms of what the child's needs were, what the options might be for those kinds of treatments and things, and
Let's
wait for the next question, Dr. Sellers. Yes, yeah, let's.
Maybe approach on
members of the jury, you're going to disregard the answer that Dr. Smith was just giving. Mr. Hunter will ask a different question.
Let me ask a kind of a bottom line question here first.
Hold on. Can I see the attorneys again?
Please score. Thank you, Your Honor. Going back to this exhibit, had you asked to meet with the treatment team at this point?
No. I was making that request in my role as the medical director for the child protection team to assist with that side of the situation.
Okay. Were you a member of the treatment team?
No, and I didn't attend this meeting.
Oh, you wound up not attending this meeting.
It wasn't for me to be there. It was for them to have the discussion.
Ah. And you wanted to know what their consensus was. Well, I mean, strike that. Never mind. Did there come a point at which you became aware of any pictures or videos being taken of mine?
Yes.
And tell us in general how that came about.
I'm not sure from the standpoint of the treating team at the hospital. From my standpoint, that was related to attempting to have some photo documentation as part of my evaluation and that could be available as part of the investigation.
Was it your understanding, well, did you have any understanding of whether the treatment team desired any such pictures for clinical reasons?
I believe so, but, you know, what I can, obviously what I can speak to is what I was doing with, or my role with it, and my role was related to this attempt for some, in this case, video documentation for the purposes of the investigation.
Okay. So was there ever any point during this patient's entire hospitalization at which you were part of the treatment of the team rendering clinical care to Maya Kowalski?
No.
And did you ever hold yourself out as such?
No.
To the parents?
No.
That's all I have for now, Your Honor.
Mr. Anderson.
Dr. Smith, how many times have you testified in court?
Probably over 300.
And how often have you met with defense counsel?
Well, pretty often, because usually there's a deposition in cases where I'm testifying. Oh, this one? Zero.
You did not meet with Mr. Hunter
yesterday?
I did not. Did you have phone conversations with him?
I did not.
And not an email?
No.
In the week before, did you?
No.
How did you know to come here today?
Because my attorney from Suncoast Center's insurance company told me to.
Are you still doing what you were doing in 2016 to this day?
I'm a pediatrician. I resigned from the child protection team last July.
You wear several hats, Fifth Avenue Pediatrics, private pediatric practice, right?
Yes.
And then back in 2016, you were more or less director of the Johns Hopkins Child Abuse Team, right?
They don't have a team. They had residents that came to our clinic to learn about child abuse pediatrics once or twice during their second year of training. And I was the designated director for that rotation for them. And if we had maybe five or so over the 20 years I was the medical director, residents who came and worked with us for a month, so I would be the, you know, person that would be supervising them for those rotations.
All right, so you're in charge of the residency, and
for those things.
And so you were considered at this point by Dr. Tepa Sanchez as the go-to person for Johns Hopkins, insofar as the
sustained.
Have you ever heard that you were referred to as a go-to by the doctors there?
Well, they wouldn't be saying that to me, so I'd have to say no. I don't know what they say amongst themselves.
Okay. Now, you said, though, that you weren't a part of the treatment team. Did I understand your testimony?
I was not. Correct.
Can we bring up Exhibit 1002-0005? Next to the last paragraph, bottom sentence.
I'm sorry. Oh, okay. I see at the very top, barely see the discharge summary note. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Now, you weren't and didn't have any training in psychiatry, right?
Just rotations in medical school and residency.
You were not a pediatric psychiatrist?
Certainly not.
You were not a pain specialist?
No.
You were not an anesthesiologist?
No.
You were not involved in rehabilitation medicine?
No.
But you were included, nonetheless, in this treatment team, were you not?
No.
Let's go to 002-0006. And let's look at the bottom paragraph, third line. I think it's the last of the second and top and the third sentence. Nope. Above. No. This is at 0006, and I'm looking for the So, Dr. Sally Smith was heavily involved in her care. Is that true?
As the medical director for the child protection team in a complex medical child abuse case, yes, that's correct.
Well, you were involved in considerably more than that, were you not?
Not in any type of day-to-day treatment of the child, but certainly in the role coordinating some of the elements related to the investigation and the court case.
Well, getting Maya Kowalski off of all of her medications is not part of your job with CPT, is it?
Well, so
is
that
it,
was...
Isn't it? Yes or no?
Excuse me, Your Honor.
Did
the witness answer the question?
As soon as she says yes or no to whether it was or was not part of her job.
Why don't you answer the specific question if you need to explain... can start explaining.
I'm sorry, could you just state the question again one time?
Sure. Well, deciding what medications Maya Kowalski should be on or whether to take her off of medications is not part of your job description at Child Protection, is it? Or was it?
The part about...
Yes or no?
Yes, but I have to explain.
Yes, it's part of your job to do that, to manage Maya Kowalski's medications.
May I explain?
Well, yes.
So the part that was part of the question was related to taking her off medications. In cases of medical child abuse, one of the things that is important to try to do in a controlled setting like a hospital is if a child is on medications that may not be necessary, that the treatment team would consider to wean those medications in that controlled setting.
All right, so were you part of the treatment team or not?
I guess it's sort of threading the needle. I wasn't writing any orders. I didn't tell them which medications to stop or wean or anything like that. But as part of the whole evaluation of medical child abuse, there's a component of what happens when they aren't getting all these medications. And so that specific little part of it was within my role.
Exhibit 2116, please. Now, you just told them to get all of, get her off as many medications as possible. Down, number 15, next to last from the bottom. I think there's a misspelling there, but we can agree.
I believe the legal term
is red. From you?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
The apologies that testify, well, you wouldn't know. Probably all are in pocket. But is that as many meds? It just says mess here, but it's supposed to be meds as possible?
Yes, and her reply is the last one's going off today.
Okay. So were you or were you not advising the treatment team, as part of the treatment team, to take Maya Kowalski off of all of these medications?
I was assisting them from the standpoint of the medical child protection team, medical child abuse realm. And as the reply makes it clear, they were already doing it, and I didn't even know they were. So certainly wasn't directing that process.
You didn't know what they were. Weren't you involved in Maya Kowalski's lab results as well?
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Exhibit 1001-0317. On November 15th, 2016, with Dr. Pagan, as part of the child protection, the treatment team, did he consult with you about an extensive chart review and recommendations?
So again,
I'm just asking whether he did or didn't.
Well, clearly, I believe I had some discussion with Dr. Carroll, who this is, she's one of the hospitalists, and so that's her note. So clearly we had some discussion about documenting that certain lab tests presumably were now normal, that had been abnormal, but I didn't order the tests or anything like that.
Are you saying that where it says in a progress note in the Johns Hopkins records, which you say you have access to, right?
Yes.
It says that the treatment team leader spoke at length with Dr. Sally Smith, you, right?
Yes.
That you had done an extensive chart review, right?
Yes.
And you were making recommendations regarding lab tests, right?
I was, from the standpoint.
And you were making observations of whether they were abnormal, is that right?
I knew she had abnormal tests that I had seen in all these medical records that I reviewed, but I don't. I mean, I'd have to look up and see. I don't really recall if these lab tests done in mid-November had any abnormalities.
A CBC, a CMP, a UA, a lipid panel ordered. Lipid panel is to check her cholesterol level, is it not?
Right. At one time, hers was 363, I believe, quite elevated at various points.
So now you're in charge of her cholesterol as well? Is that right?
The lab tests had certain abnormalities that, based on my record review, I suspected were related to medications and potential toxicity. And so in evaluating the medical child abuse, one of the things we're trying to assess is if harm has been done, and hopefully it's reversible. So that was the thought process, the mindset that I was approaching this discussion with Dr. Carroll.
You're not a pharmacologist, are you?
I'm not.
Also, an IG profile. What's an IG profile?
Immunoglobulin.
Uh-huh. And an IgE?
So that's a specific one of the immunoglobulins. There are A, G, M, and E.
And a RAS test, check and see if she had allergies?
Correct. That was one of the things in the medical records that was said to cause some of her symptoms.
Are you an endocrinologist or an allergy expert?
I see a lot of children with endocrinological and allergy problems in my general practice, and I did a lot. I saw a lot of them in my role at All Children's for 12 years, but I am neither. I have neither board-certified specialty.
You don't have a specialty in either one of those, do you?
I just said that, right.
And you were worried about her dog dander allergy, right?
Yes.
And dog dander allergy is clearly part of Munchausen by proxy, right?
It is.
Yes.
May I continue?
No, I was just sustaining that objection.
All right. And on December 13th, 2016, and I realize you might not recognize a lot of the dates, but to put it in context, by December 13th, 2016, now Maya had been at the hospital for what, one, two, almost 3 months?
October 17th to December 13th would be a little over 2 months, right?
Right. And you were still on the team, were you not?
I was still the medical director of the child protection team.
Well, you were part of the treatment team, were you not?
I was not.
1001-0200. Did you or did you not confer with the team regarding creating a behavior chart? Bottom, last two sentences, highlight, please.
So,
did you or did you not become involved in creating a behavior chart for Maya Kowalski?
Looking at this note, I think I misspoke earlier. The way that I didn't see any of these ahead of time. But the way the email was written, it was that they should meet, but it looks like I probably did actually attend that team meeting. And so it looks like these were the things that were discussed related to coming up with this list of things that would potentially help the court that was involved at the time.
You just said you hadn't seen these prior to this. Why would it be important for you to see all of these notes in the medical record prior to this if all you're here to do is tell the truth about what you know?
Objection, Your Honor. Argumentative.
Sustained.
And then you had the pain team on documenting pain weekly. Is that right?
Well, I mean, it speaks for itself. These were the things that they said we talked about. I don't have an independent recollection of this specific meeting. And certainly, I've been reviewing a lot of stuff the last couple of weeks, but I did not see this nor Kathy Beattie's email ahead of time. So, I'm just going by what I'm seeing right here at the moment.
Okay, so then you were involved then in changing the room?
Yeah, I'm not really sure what that's in reference to.
Was that changing the room to the 48-hour room, the surveillance room?
No, that was back in November.
So were you? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say I'm not sure what this is talking about.
Okay, so were you aware that during that 48 hours, Maya Kowalski was forced to urinate and defecate on herself because she could not get over to the commode?
Objection, argumentative, and facts not noted.
Overruled. She can answer.
No.
Were you part of the decision to put the commode just out of reach of her so that she could not get to it herself?
Absolutely.
And had to rely on a nurse?
Absolutely not.
Were you part of any decisions to make sure that the nurses moved slowly so that she would be forced to have the decision of either urinating on herself or worse, or I guess calling and waiting.
No, I have no idea about that or what you're talking about.
Would that be child abuse?
I think that would be a stretch.
Sustained.
All right. So, if we go back then, as you were talking about, that was in December. If we go back then into October, were you again part of the treatment team with Dr. Hart, Dr. Elliott, and Dr. Dees?
No.
1001-0429, please. Right above the line there, please, and the right there. Now, please take a look at it, read it if you can.
Yes, I have.
All right. And here, Dr. Dees states that she spoke to you along with Dr. Hart and Dr. Elliott. Do you see that?
Yes, I'm pretty sure this is in reference to a meeting that we had on this, I think it was that day, on October 18th. One of the things that's recommended in evaluating medical child abuse is to meet with the treating physicians and discuss what their observations are and everything so that I can then convey that in my report that I wasn't just sort of like out there rogue making this diagnosis, that there were other physicians with some of these other areas of expertise that I had discussed the case with and had the opportunity to hear their expert opinions. So Dr. Hart was the rehab physician, Dr. Elliott was the anesthesiologist, and Dr. Dees looks like would have been the hospitalist that was the general pediatrician taking care of her at that time. So that was the purpose of that meeting.
Well, it says here that the purpose, the first one, was continue with the current plan, right?
I don't think that's what it says. I think it's those are two separate things.
Right. Well, wouldn't a treatment team be the team deciding about keeping with the current plan?
Yes, and I think that's what Dr. Dees was referencing. So this is her brief note at the end of the pediatric residence note, and they will put in a few sentences, sometimes more, and so I think there are three separate sentences here where she, I'm sorry, two separate sentences that she added to, you know, convey what her plan was for that day as the attending physician.
All right, I was just simply asking you whether you were part here of a note in which the current plan described there was discussed.
I understand, I think, what you were asking, and I'm answering the question to the best of my ability.
Okay. Between, you're aware that on October 8th of 2016, there was no active state investigation of the Kowalskis.
I'm not sure exactly when the report was made, but I think at least part of the day on the 8th, that is correct. It was either late that day or the following morning. I found out about the case the following morning. So the
9th.
Yes.
So what were you doing accessing Maya Kowalski's private confidential medical records on the 8th if you were just part of the child protection team and there was no investigation?
I was doing so under HIPAA's what's called TPO exception to the confidentiality guidelines, which allows for...
Objection, move to strike for legal conclusion as to what the statute says.
I'm going to sustain the objection. Mr. Anderson, you can re-ask the question, and we'll get to a break in just a couple minutes. Mr. Anderson, within 5 minutes, we need to take a break.
So, true or false, you accessed Maya Kowalski's medical records on the 8th?
I did.
Prior to that, you did not contact Jack or Beata Kowalski. True or false?
Correct.
Is it not true that you often walk in after...
Mr. Anderson, if you're going to a different...
I am.
Then why don't we take the break now? Members of the jury do not discuss this case amongst yourselves. You're not doing an investigation and receive more information. Let's try to keep it to a 10-minute break.
All right.
Sorry about that, Mr. Anderson. The court deputy was telling me one of the jurors needed a break.
So. Yeah, I saw it. Okay. Good catch.
Dr. Sallysmith, you're in the middle of your testimony, so you're not allowed to talk to, well...
Sure, I'm aware.
Either side.
I'm aware.
In 10 minutes, let's keep our... keep this in, no more than 10 minutes.
Yes, sir.
All rise.
Great. And then how about O'Leary Johnson?
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant O'Leary Johnson. I said Bose. I meant O'Leary Johnson.
Great. So there's nothing more with O'Leary Johnson that I have to do.
That's correct.
Great. Thank you. Do we know where Mr. Hunter is? Or?
You want me to find him, John?
Yeah, I'll just give another minute or two. Mr. Hunter's not here.
Yes, sir.
Do you, is this a conversation that we need Mr. Hunter for?
I only wanted to mark what the doctor brought in.
Why don't we wait for Mr. Hunter at that point?
Yes, sir.
And speaking of Mr. Hunter. Let me ask the lawyers this. There's been several references to Dr. Carroll and Leslie Carroll. Do we need to say anything to the jury that Dr. Leslie Carroll and I have no relationship or just leave it alone?
I think they're clueless about that.
It's up to you, Judge. I mean, I don't.
I think you should know.
I'm sorry? And as a reminder, my brother is a Dr. Carroll. And so
it might be a good idea to say something just for that reason. Yeah, they may have heard Dr. Carroll.
Okay. I don't think it hurts.
So I'll just make that mention. Now, Mr. Anderson, there was another issue you wished to address with when Mr. Hunter was here.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Judge. All I wanted to do was mark for identification what Dr. Smith brought in with her to testify with.
You mean all those notebooks?
Just the
well, that's a good point.
Man, I put it see what you're talking about here.
Let's just talk practical from the clerk's perspective. If Dr. Sally Smith has only looked at like two pages this whole time.
Yes, I see the court's.
Do you mark that?
Yeah, I just think that the binder she has open right now is the only thing I would want. That's the only thing I've seen come out of it is this one binder that is before her right now.
Well, I don't think she's looked through the binder. I think she's only looked at a couple pages in her hand. So,
I don't have any issue with her looking at her with marking what she has looked at, but that should be it.
I always thought when they brought stuff to the stand, you could explore whatever they brought.
Well, if she's not looking at it, and it's just more or less a prop, if you will, at this point, I just don't want to have five-inch notebooks having to be given to the clerk who already has so many notebooks.
Got quite enough notebooks. Yes, that's what I was just suggesting. This one that she has got open right now and referred to. I have not been able to see how many pages what she's referred to, but I do know that it appears to only be one notebook.
Dr. Smith, why don't you close the black notebook and only keep out what you actually looked at, which is what's in your left hand.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
So, as a reminder, if Dr. Smith is going to look at any of those stuff, those items, then we'll probably mark that. But just to mark five binders, mark them if not do that.
Understood.
I don't know if it's proper, but all of these are shared documents that are date stamped, except for a couple of folders with references. And as you have stated, I haven't touched them. So.
And unless and until you have to look at them, let's not worry about them, because I don't want to spend the time having the lawyers go through to check to make sure that there isn't a sheet of paper that isn't in evidence or not in evidence.
Right.
That would take forever and doesn't help us along.
Right.
What she's got is her report material.
Exactly. I didn't realize I wasn't going to need it.
And so I guess the moral of the story is unless you absolutely need to look at one of those items in your binder,
right,
let's not go there because then
you got it.
Adding tonnage to the number of items the clerk has to keep track of.
I don't really want to kill those trees.
Are we ready to bring in the jury? Mr. Hunter, are you ready
for the jury? Let's bring them in.
Members of the jury, I want to confirm while you're away, you did not discuss this case amongst yourselves. You did no investigation and received no information. Is that correct?
Correct.
Have you seen any media accounts since you were last with us?
No.
Has anyone approached you about this case since you were last with us?
No.
Mr. Anderson, you may continue. Oh, before I did it, there's been a couple of references to Dr. Leslie Carroll. Obviously, my last name is Carroll. There's no family relationship between Dr. Leslie Carroll and myself.
Subject to redirect, plaintiff yields to the jury's questions.
Well, it goes back to Mr. Hunter now.
Please go ahead.
Counsel asked you about your access to the medical records when Dr. Tepa Sanchez called you?
Yes.
Was that as a result of your being asked to consult on a case by a fellow medical staff member?
Correct.
Is that customary, typical?
Yes, and I...
Objection, foundation of predicate for that.
Well, the answer, yes, remains.
The your duties as the medical director of the child protection team, the CPT, if we can.
Yes.
You say that shorthand folks usually use?
That's the usual, yes.
Okay. Is part of your, do you understand part of your statutory duties with the CPT to follow patients who are sheltered under a child abuse investigation?
My understanding and my responsibility is to provide whatever assistance is requested from the investigators, law enforcement, and attorneys that are involved in the case. So I think I'll leave it there.
Okay. And I think I better leave it there. Have we ever spoken?
I believe you were at one of my 5 depositions, but other than that, I knew of you when I worked at the hospital, but otherwise, no. My recollection, no.
Have we ever discussed this case?
No.
Have you ever discussed this case with anyone from my office?
No.
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Mr. Anderson, anything further?
No, Your Honor.
Members of the jury. Questions, members of the jury, I'm just going to ask you to step out. Please do not discuss this case amongst yourselves. Do not do an investigation and receive no information.
All rise. Jurors exit.
More live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.